I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roman Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, romanoz.com.au. All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, we're in Trangie today.
Yes.
And Yes, go on.
Yeah, no, where's Trangie?
Well, Trangie, oh, goodness me. It's a town on the Mitchell Highway, I can tell you that much.
Ah, yes. And it's 485 kilometres northwest of Sydney. And if you're wanting to get there, it's also 76 kilometres from Dubbo and 38 kilometres from Narromine.
Very specific with those figures, Lynn.
Yes,
goodness,
I know, and it's
me.
Got a population of less than 1,200 people.
Yeah, it's only a small town, but I've got to tell you, it's a fabulous town.
Yes, and we had a great coffee there too.
We did. We had a fabulous coffee, and we also had a great day at the Trangie Truck and Tractor Festival.
Yes, that was quite interesting.
It was very interesting, and you know what? We actually didn't think it was going to go ahead, did we?
No, but I wish I had a packed my gumboots.
the weather out there, people, was absolutely atrocious.
Yes.
And you're right. Now we went to the showground because I was wanting to see a tractor pull. Another tractor.
It wasn't on.
It didn't happen. And of course you didn't have your gumboots, so that was pretty tragic as well. But anyway, you're going to find out all about that one. And after
who are we speaking to?
We're speaking to the president of the festival, Rob McCutcheon.
Right, okay.
Okay, great guy. Very informative, very lovely fellow. And, we've also got some other people that we're talking to, but we're going to keep those till next week.
Okay.
Okay. And now, apart from that, we're also going to be talking to Jeff Dioth, our regular check weight.
Yeah.
After that, we're going to be chatting with Jamie from the Nindengully Pub.
Yes, what a great pub that is.
Oh, I can't
believe
it.
Built back in 1864.
Yep.
Amazing. And it's a great place to camp too. You can free camp there.
Yeah, absolutely. You can free camp there. Some fantastic facilities too, you know. They've got water views, especially when it's raining.
Oh, yes. We were very lucky to get out of there the next day.
You're not wrong. But they've also got shower and toilets.
Yes,
and it's all free. They just really like you to patronise the hotel.
Oh, and boy, did we.
Did we what? Now, we ordered a small meal, didn't we, Lynn?
We did. We ordered a steak sandwich.
Yes.
That and could be shared between three people.
Yeah, well, they say it's a two-person meal, but I've got to tell you, it had three eggs on it and half a kilo of bacon, and it was absolutely huge.
It was.
But, you know, the thing is, what attracted me to that particular pub was I wanted to have a crack at their at their road train burger.
Yes.
Now, the road train burger is 1.2 kilograms of meat.
Yeah, that's heart attack material.
It's heart attack material. It's meant to feed anybody from four to six people. But you know what? You got to fork out a healthy $80 if you want to give it a crack. But let's be honest. This is the burger that could realistically feed four people easily.
Yeah.
Easily. So it's actually quite economical.
Yep.
For $80, you'll get a staggering, let me tell you what's on it, a staggering 1.2 kilograms of meat patty, a 1 kilogram bun, one entire lettuce.
Wow. That's the price of a lettuce today.
It goes on. Three large beetroots, a whole tin of pineapple slices, six tomatoes, 400 grams of cheese, and to top it all off, 1 kilogram of potato wedges.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's definitely to share, not on your own.
Yeah, now apparently nobody has actually been able to eat this single-handed. Back in the day, they used to challenge people. If you could eat it single-handedly, they'd give you a 5 kilogram, a 5 litre keg of beer.
Oh, okay.
Okay, they don't do that anymore. No. Nobody's ever been able to do it. So they just give you. I did speak with Jamie, the chef there, and he said, "Look, we'll just give them a little souvenir pack if they're able to do it. You know, a stubby cooler and a few other bits and pieces, but nobody's ever been able to do it. So it is a fabulous pub to visit. It's very iconic. It's the oldest licensed hotel, and it's got some great facilities there. It's pet friendly and free camping. So if you're in that area, anywhere near the Nindengully Pub, guys, you got to drop in.
Most certainly do.
Absolutely. Apart from all of these interesting topics, we've also got a great selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So what do you reckon, Lynn? On with the show. Well, before we get underway with the interviews, if you'd like to call them interviews, I prefer to call them chats. We are starting with the Trangie Truck and Tractor Festival. So before we get underway with that one with Rob McCutcheon, I'm going to play a couple of songs that I think are very, very appropriate for the Truck and Tractor Festival, okay? There are a couple of songs by Nev Nichols. Now, Nev Nichols is an Australian singer, songwriter and performer. He was born in September, or on September 16th, 1930, at Millthorpe, New South Wales. Now, a national two-hour weekly radio show, the Nev Nichols Roadshow, had a successful run on more than 90 radio stations throughout Australia from 1978 to 1988, okay? Now, the songs that I've decided to put up for you, the first one is called Rigs and Road, and the next one is Trucker's Paradise. And straight after this, listeners, we're going to have the chat with Rob McCutcheon from the Trangie Truck and Tractor Festival.
I've driven all the rigs and I've travelled all the roads. I ate at every roadhouse, carried every kind of load. I'd break in bars from coast to coast, met women of all kinds, and left them half a lifetime and a million miles behind. I've driven Kenny's, Macs and Volvos, a Mercedes and a van, an international Transtar and a Bedford panel van. Diamond Rio and a Louisville, a Leader and a Daihatsu, a Chevy and an Atkins and White Scania and an Isuzu, Datsun and a Fiat, Toyota and Leyland. I've driven every kind of rig that I could get to hand. The transportation's in my blood, and at the very start, before I held the license, I drove a horse and cart. I've driven all the rigs and I've traveled all the roads. I ate at every roadhouse, carried every kind of load. I drank in bars from coast to coast, met women of all kinds, and left them half a lifetime and a million miles behind. I traveled the air highway, the barrier and the Jukes, the Flinders and New England, the Dawson and the Bruce, the Warrego and Mitchell, the Murray Valley and the Sturt. I drove along the Capricorn when it was made of dirt, the New Old Goulburn and Pacific, Barwon, Gwydir and the Hume, the Calder and the Stewart, Northwest Coastal up to Broome. I remember many years ago I drove the Birdsville track, and I guess when life is over I'll drive the hill and back. Cause I've driven all the rigs and I've traveled all the roads. I ate at every roadhouse, carried every kind of load. I drank in bars from coast to coast, met women of all kinds, and left them half a lifetime and a million miles behind. Ran over dogs and cats and pigs and rats and an old man kangaroo, rabbits, hares and possums and one poor old emu, sheep and goats and a lot of snakes and a purebred Jersey cow. I even downed a buffalo, though the Lord alone knows how. I crossed rivers, deserts, mountains in heat and flooding rain, and if I'm given half the chance, I'll do it all again. I see roads and slipping loads keep a man right on his toes, and as long as I am able, I'll just keep on the go. Cause I've driven all the rigs and I've traveled all the roads. I ate at every roadhouse, carried every kind of load. I drank in bars from coast to coast, met women of all kinds, and left them half a lifetime and a million miles behind. There's a place called Trucker's Paradise just south of Jamboree, and the drivers all stop in there for a laugh and a cup or two. There's a woman waiting tables, and I'll tell you boys, she's nice. They call her the fallen angel of Trucker's Paradise. She knows about the roads and the overloads, filling out a phony log, and the story about the time the tire caught fire and burned up a truckload of hogs. If coffee goes up to a dollar a cup, I suppose we'll pay the price just to be with the fallen angel of Tarucka's paradise. No need to ask her what her name is, she won't say, but she's better off than most of us in tips and take-home pay. She used to be Miss Gundy Guy, almost Miss New South Wales, then a big TV producer led her astray. It turned out he was married, and her heart turned cold as ice, and that's why they call her the fallen angel of Trucker's Paradise. No need to ask her what her name is, she won't say, but she's better off than most of us in tips and take-home pay. She used to be Miss Gundy Guy, almost Miss New South Wales, then a big TV producer led her astray. It turned out he was married, and her heart turned cold as ice, and that's why they call her the fallen angel of Trucker's Paradise. And that's why they call her the fallen angel of Trucker's Paradise.
Hello listeners, Phil C here, and this is Raymond Oz, and we're in the town of Trangie today at the Truck and Tractor Festival talking with Mr. Rob McCutcheon. How are you going today, Rob?
Well, we're very wet. We're having a fabulous day in Trangie. We've probably doubled the size of our population already this morning in the pouring rain.
Yes.
So we're all very excited.
Now, I understand the festival's been running since 2019, and 2019, fabulous kickoff to the festival. You had 2,500-3,000 people rock into town.
Yep, we sure did.
Which was fabulous. And then, of course, we had COVID, which has kind of knocked it on the head. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, we got a few old tractor collectors and truck collectors around town, car collectors, and we got together in about 2017 and decided to run something, bearing in mind that 2017 was the middle of a rip-roaring drought in our patch.
Yep.
And everyone was sort of looking for a bit of an out, a bit of a get-together to share a few stories and get over the pain of the drought. So we formed a committee under our chairman, Toby Mitchell. A great old collector himself, and we got a mixed representation of people from around our town and out of town that got our first show going in 2019.
Right.
It blew us out of the water. We were thinking we might have got 1,000 people, and we had upwards to 3,000. All our little schools all made a few bob doing the drinks and the barbecues and. It turned into an absolutely magnificent event.
Yep.
So then we had a lot of these truck drivers that had old truck collectors and new trucks. It's not just limited to old trucks, who wanted us to make it a regular event.
Yep.
And they've encouraged us to try and establish a hall of fame for trucks and tractors.
Right.
The same on the same basis as the one in Alice Springs.
Okay.
The Alice Springs one is a great spot, as a great museum. However, it's a long way to go.
It is indeed.
And so a lot of these truckies, they said, look, if you set something up in Trangie, it's only a day trip for us from just about anywhere on the East Coast, and we'll support you.
Fabulous.
Well, that's what they've done today. We've had upwards of 70 to 90 mils of rain since Thursday.
Yes.
And we've had to shuffle the events around, and we're lining all the cars and trucks up in the main street to keep them off the mud.
Yep.
The main street's just awash with people today, and everyone's pretty excited to see all these trucks in town.
Look, fabulous that it was said rain, hail or shine, because you missed out on 21, 22, because of, 20 yep. and 21,
21
because of COVID.
Yep.
And obviously you didn't want to miss out again, so it said rain, hail or shine. Now, did you yourself, Rob, think, gosh, you just mentioned the rainfall. Did you think, oh, crikey, it's not another year we're going to miss out?
We did. We had a committee meeting on Thursday morning.
Yep.
And to look at our options, and everyone said cancelling is not an option.
Not an option, no.
So we wandered around town and tried to come up with a solution. People go to a lot of effort to prepare for these shows,
of course, and
they're pretty proud of what they've done, their old trucks and their new trucks. They're mighty, mighty proud of them.
Yep.
And there's been so many events cancelled over the last couple of years with COVID. As farmers, of course, you know, the rain's welcome.
Yes, definitely.
But it would have been welcome on Monday, the same. And so they've all turned up. We were extremely worried, and after we made that decision to go ahead, that, you know, we mightn't get a crowd.
Yep.
But the crowd up the main street now in Trangie absolutely blows the whole committee away.
Absolutely.
And we're really grateful for these people that have come to support our little community.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a wonderful committee, and a committee that makes things happen. And that's why we took the attitude of rain, hail or shine. We're going on. And it was raining until 10 o'clock.
It was. Well, we came down from Narromine to be here, and it was bucketing down. And I thought, this can't go ahead. It can't go ahead. But I was adamant. I spoke with you yesterday. I was adamant we're going to get here. We're going to see what we see. And you're right. There's the whole street, we just had a look. There's a wash of people everywhere. There's trucks everywhere. You got a copper patrolling up and down, so I hope he does the right thing. I hope he doesn't pick any of you guys.
We're pretty well supported by all of our local community, and, and we rely on them. So that I'm pretty sure he'll look after us.
Yep.
But yeah, no, the truck park at the back of the service station is full of trucks. The railway yard is full of trucks.
Right.
And now the main street's full of trucks.
Okay.
The biggest disappointment for us today probably has been from the tractor enthusiasts.
Yep.
We've had to cancel the tractor pull.
Yes.
The tractor pull, old tractor enthusiasts just love going to tractor pulls. They're not really worried about the crowd.
No.
So it's disappointing for those guys. But they're all still here, or not all. There's naturally some people couldn't get here, but currently they're all here, and it's a regular crowd. We go to Ivanhoe and we go to all over the place with tractor pulls, and we'll go to another one.
Yep.
But they're still here today supporting our little community, because these events are no good without support from outside of town. You know, we've only got 800 people.
Yes, right.
To get, you know, 2,500 or 3,000 here for an event is absolutely amazing, and we rely heavily on that support.
Mm-hmm.
Started off with a budget that was zero.
Right.
We tried to keep our gate entry fee cheap for families. We tried to have a day that catered for the kids, the mums, as well as the trucky dads and the tractor dads.
Okay.
And we did that successfully last time.
Yes.
And some of the ladies on our committee, they want us to continue with that, and they've done a wonderful job to get our pavilion today set up with all stalls.
Fantastic.
And so we're lucky we've got the diversity within the committee, with people with a different focus. They're not all tractor and truck buffs.
Okay.
Some of my wives are truck drivers. Okay. They might be pushed a little bit, but nonetheless, it's a whole community effort in our little town.
Yep.
But the support from outside is absolutely incredible.
Fabulous. And also, you did mention to keep it as cheap as you can, because Trangie's, we were talking earlier, Trangie's like the $5 town. You can get $5 to go into the truck and tractor show, $5 for a coffee, $5 for a schooner of beer. What more can you ask for? But because it's all sort of backed by some major supporters and sponsors, let's talk about those for a moment. Because you couldn't do it without them. You couldn't charge $5 without them.
Those of us in Trangie firmly believe that Trangie should be on the $5 note now,
absolutely,
though, in place of Golgong. But not a fat chance of that happening.
No, that's
but nonetheless, in the middle of the drought, it was essential that, you know, people didn't have very much money.
Of course.
And not only the farmers, but the people in town, their businesses were suffering badly.
Yes.
So we were very fortunate that our major sponsor, Inland Petroleum, came on board, and all our other sponsors, equally as important,
yep,
have given us a couple of opportunities. One, to run the day. Two is to ensure that our little schools and tennis clubs and so on have a chance to make a few bob.
Yes.
And, of course, the ultimate aim was for us to build this Truck and Tractor Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And we're certainly going to be putting some pressure on our local members. Unfortunately, they couldn't come today. Yeah. Dougal's at the Sydney show with a more important job.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And
yep.
Mark Holton couldn't get in this morning because of the rain.
Uh-huh.
So we really were going to sow a few seeds there and put our hand out, you know, for some funding in the future to build a museum.
Sounds good.
So that we've got this ongoing legacy here in Trangie for our little businesses, and
yeah,
so it'll be all good.
Just before we wind this up, you did say the tractor pool wasn't going to be on because of the showground being so wet, but you do have a few events up there, don't you, today at the showground?
Yeah, there's a bull ride up there especially for you today.
Okay.
And... but there's market stalls up there, and we're doing the presentation to the Truckies Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Up there at about 2 o'clock.
Okay.
So yeah, it's still going to be a day.
Still going to be a day up there.
The barbecues and all the meals, mm-hmm, and everything, and the bar, everything's operating up there today.
Okay.
And if everyone from the main street goes up there, it'll, the showground, all the dry parts of the showground will be full.
Absolutely. Mm. And I just hope they don't run out of beer up there, because I'm going to chew
that
up.
That won't happen in Trangie.
Fabulous, Rob. Thank you so much for your time chatting with us today, mate. Before we wind this up, got to play you an Aussie song. What's your favourite Australian singer, or favourite Aussie,
you know,
song?
We all, everyone in the bush loves Slim.
Okay.
If you listen to 2WEB Bourke, which is one of the local radio stations we can get from here west.
Yes.
And Slim's a favourite with all the truckies.
Absolutely.
There's not a truckie I know that doesn't like Lights on the Hill.
Lights on the Hill. Fabulous song. Thank you so much for your time today, Rob. We're going to put that on right now, listeners. Lights on the Hill, Slim Dusty, and we'll be back with more Roaming Oz straight after that.
Straight road and the engine is deep. I can't help thinking of a good night's sleep, and the long, long roads of my life are a-calling me. These rough old hands are a-glued to the wheel, my eyes full of sand from the way they feel, and the lights coming over the hill are a-blinding me. It's a long, tough haul from away down south. A man's gotta find a little bread for his mouth and a home for a girl as sweet as my honey can be. So it's down through the gears, she's a-starting to pull. The gauge on the tank is a-showing near full, and the lights coming over the hill are a-blinding me. There's rain on the road, now I can feel the load start a-shifting in a dance. To see the posts, and I haven't got a ghost of a chance. Oh no. The windscreen wipers are a-beating in time. The song they sing is a part of my mind, and I can't believe it's really happening to me. Oh, but I'm over the edge and down the mountainside. I know they'll tell about the night I died in the rain when the lights on the hill. See the post, and I haven't got a ghost of a chance. Oh, oh, oh no. The windscreen wipers are a-beating in time. The song they sing is a part of my mind, and I can't believe it's a really happening to me. Oh, but I'm over the edge and down the mountainside. I know they'll tell about the night I died in the rain when the lights on the hill were a-blinding me.
7th Street Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au. Next on the show, Mr. Jeff Dieth from Checkweight. How are you going today, Jeff?
Going really well, Phil. Thanks for asking.
Oh, always a pleasure to ask you, mate. It's always fabulous to find out that you're well and Checkweight's going super well. Now, we did speak a few weeks ago and you told me you had 3 franchises and then you just told me the other day, it was offline, off air, you've now got a 4th franchise coming up. Tell us just a fraction about that before we get on to today's topic.
Well, can't tell you too much until, you know, all the T's are dotted, was it? No, the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed.
T's are crossed, yep.
But, yeah, so we're looking at putting a 4th one on, and that includes me, so there'll be 4 of it.
Yep.
Basically, we'll be covering, as a bit of a hint, all the way from Port Macquarie to Nowra.
Wow.
Along the coast.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and a bit inland as well, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, well, when it happens. When it happens, yeah. Well, when it happens, you'll have to let us know so we can let all our listeners know. You can't even tell us where it is, whether it's going to be around where you are, or Sydney, or south of Sydney. Or he's keeping us in suspense, listeners. He won't even give us how far south of Sydney. No, he's not going to tell us. All right. Well, look, congratulations on that one, mate. Fingers crossed, because if you get that one, geez, you're going to have a huge area covered from Port Macquarie to Nowra. Oh, massive area. Fabulous. Yeah. All right, mate. Now tell us, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, we mentioned boats last week, so I thought we'd talk about the impact of taking your boat with you when you do a lap of Australia.
Okay. And you know what? I when I first got into caravanning, I thought to myself, I see all these boats and motors and Lord knows what else, you know, and I thought, that's what I want to do. I'm going to put a boat on there and have a big motor hanging off the back. And I see more and more people with boats now than before. And I just wonder how often these things get wet. First of all, they're probably just carrying them for show. And secondly, what's the impact of having one up there? Is it really worth taking one, or would it be better to just hire one on the odd occasion?
Look, Phil, having now weighed, you know, as many caravans and vehicles that I have, and yeah, obviously not as many carrying boats.
Yep.
I have to agree that I think you need to really seriously think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to be a pretty committed boatie to be taking boat around Australia.
Yep.
I mean, if you just look at the weather conditions that we've had over the last couple of years, you know, it's either stinking hot and drought or rain. You know, so in the middle of Australia, it's stinking hot, no water, you can't take your boat out.
And
if it's flooded, you can't take it out either.
No.
So I think it's a bit of a balancing act there on the weather and, you know, the amount of water and how you get to use it.
Yeah.
However, you know, the impact I think that I mostly see is weight.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do.
Mm.
And I've got to say that, you know, in the last, just since, you know, January, I've weighed, I think, 3 vehicles with boats, and all of them had issues. Now, one of them, you know, is going around Australia and he's addressing those issues. He's already booked in for early March to get weighed again after he's had some more upgrades and things on the vehicle, which is, you know, great to see.
Right.
But the big surprise for him was because he had a GVM on a upgrade on a Land Cruiser, and it was a 70 series. Do you know the 70 series,
yes,
Bill?
Yes, I do. I own one. I love my 70 series. Go on.
A bit of a loaded question.
Yes.
Because I sort of knew that.
Yep.
And you know, he'd got the upgrades, but the problem with boats and, you know, is that all the weight, when I say all, the majority of the weight impacts on the cabin, not on the cabin, but on the back of the dual cab.
Right.
So if you think about it, you know, you've if you've got a dual cab or a 70 series and you put a canopy on,
mm-hmm.
most boat racks that they put on
yes.
are all over the tray or the canopy.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you've got about, even though the front of the boat might be sticking out over the cabin,
yes.
unless it's actually putting weight on that cabin, actually impacting any weight on the cabin. It might be over it, but it's not actually putting any weight there.
Right.
So you generally get around 90 to 100% of the weight of the boat
mm-hmm.
all over the tray
yes.
and all over the rear axle.
Right.
And so that's the first problem, is that you can't really distribute the weight. I weighed a ram with a boat on the other day, and he's saying, but some of that weight's on the front. I said, but it's not touching the cabin. And he said, oh, yeah, but it's over the cabin.
Yeah.
And so I got up and I said, I had to explain, because it's not touching the cabin, there's no physical weight hitting the cabin,
yes.
you know, the dual cab part. So, you know, you've got to remember that your eyes don't always tell you the truth.
Yeah.
So this guy was over on his rear axle, and he was under GVM, which you see a fair few of,
yep.
Where a vehicle is under the GVM but over on their rear axle.
Yep.
That's the number one, is, you know, where you put your boat. I mean, mm-hmm. there's occasionally you might get a boat rack that's impacting on the front or over the cabin, but it's still only putting, you know, it's still putting about 75% of its weight on the rear axle.
Mm.
The second problem is your outboard.
Yes.
And it's a little bit like a generator. There's no great place to put an outboard motor.
No.
They are quite heavy. And so most people tend to either put it on the back of the caravan or on the front of the caravan.
Yeah.
And you know my thoughts on the back of the caravan.
Of course.
It's not a great idea.
No.
You know, and you've got this heavy weight bouncing up and down as you're going on our beautiful roads around Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a great place.
No.
A lot of people are mounting them in the big boxes and having a slide in and a slide out.
Right.
But again, that adds a lot of weight then to your towball.
To your towball, yep.
And then that's adding weight to the rear axle of your vehicle, which is overloaded because you've got the boat on the rear axle as well.
Yes.
So it becomes a little bit difficult. If the best place, I think, for an outboard is if you've got a tray back and you've built a canopy, is right up the front of the tray. And I have seen that where – and the guy actually had thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of the boats that was actually just, it was only just over. So just a few little things that he could have moved and he would have been compliant. But he put the boat motor on a slide right up the front.
Okay.
So it was right directly behind the passenger cabin.
Okay. And that was to try and distribute the weight from the rear axle to put some of it to the front?
Well, yeah, and just not have the leverage, because
okay.
if it's behind the rear axle, you've
yep.
got that leverage for the rear axle. But
uh-huh.
yeah, so the further forward you've got it, the less multiplier effect that you have on your rear axle.
Right.
The other thing that people don't think about, I think, when they buy, you know, decide to take a boat, is that the boat motor weighs something. Okay, because, you know, I've had people ring me, well, you know, I'm going to take a boat. The boat only weighs 60 kilos.
Yes.
And then you go, well, what of all the extras? So you've got the boat loader, you've got the motor, you're driving a diesel vehicle, so you've got to carry petrol. So
yes.
where are you going to carry the petrol?
Mm.
You know, even if it's only 20 litres, it's still, you know, 18 kilos or 17 kilos or something.
Yep.
You've got your spares for your boat, or, you know, you've got your life jackets.
Your oars. Yep.
You know, all the other stuff that you've got to
take your boat. Yep.
Well, anchor and the chain.
Yeah.
You know, there's quite a bit of weight.
Yeah, yep.
Good one, Phil. I didn't think of that one.
Yeah. No, so, I used to own two boats, so I can tell you what goes in them.
and like you asked me last week, you know, if you're taking a boat and you're that serious, well, then you've got a whole heap of fishing gear as well.
Yes, of course. yes. You got fishing gear. And that weighs.
Yeah. It all adds up, and you know, usually with fishing gear, I think the best bet for a fishing gear is, you know, you put a tube on the back and throw it in the back,
mm-hmm.
In the tube, because it's nice and safe, but it doesn't weigh much. But
no.
it still adds up.
It sure does.
So for a lot of people, you know, it's really difficult to have a boat on top and be compliant.
Yeah.
I suppose that's probably, the main takeaway from this is if you're going to take a boat,
mm-hmm.
weigh your vehicle and your caravan before you decide to take the boat.
Right.
And then you can work out, well, the boat's going to weigh this much. It's going to be all on my rear axle. So therefore I need to do these sorts of upgrades mm-hmm. if I'm going to be complete. And then how much is the boat, the motor, and all the extras that you're going to take because you're taking a boat?
Yeah.
Where are you going to put them, A, and how much are they going to weigh?
Yes. Well, now what about the difference between the way people carry boats on top of vehicles? Because where I am now, I've got a vehicle next to me and there's a boat in it or on it, and it is upside down on a flat box that this guy has had manufactured so that this thing will sit up there safely and be tied down and so on and so forth. But then I saw a vehicle at my last stop and the boat was the other way up, like it was ready to be launched into the water, sitting on top of this vehicle. I've never seen anything like, I mean, you do see it occasionally, but this boat was huge. And I thought, how the heck do you get it up there for a start? And what kind of impact would that have being that way? Because at least upside down, you are creating something whereby the wind will blow over the top of the boat, because of the front of the boat being upside down. But if you've got it the other way, you'd have to be creating a massive sort of a wind resistance for sure. And wouldn't that just throw the whole dynamics of the vehicle out the window?
I would think so. I've never weighed one where they were, for want of a better word, the right way up.
Yes.
Yeah, or the correct way up,
yep.
As if putting it in the water. Every boat that I've weighed on top of the vehicle has been upside down.
Yes.
Which, I think the way that boat loaders work these days, they flip them
yes.
as they come down the side of the vehicle. That's the other thing. Then you need the wheels and everything to carry your boat to the water.
Well, I know. I've got one of those things. It's a folding boat trailer. I think it's called a bulldog or something. Mm. And that in itself weighs a bloody ton.
So I think, the other thing that I would think about, if you had your boat right way up or correct way up.
Yep.
And you've got a storm or something, you're going to fill it with water.
Okay.
And, that's going to make you heavy as well. You'd probably have the bungs out or whatever, but still, you're going to put water in it.
You're going to put water in it, yep.
And that's an interesting side thing is that I did weigh a caravan one day and it had been raining. And when I weighed it, when he drove away, all this water come off the roof.
Right.
And I said to the guy, you probably take about 10 or 20 kilos off my weigh pads or the result because you've had all this water on it.
On the top of the roof of the caravan.
Yeah, because we weighed it and then he unhitched and then you wind the tow ball up, to disconnect it. And this water just ran off the back of the caravan.
Okay.
So this water was pooling on the top.
Uh-huh.
And it was quite a bit, and that all weighs something.
Yes, it sure does.
So, 1 litre of water is a kilo.
Mm.
So if you've got 10 litres of water sitting in your boat, there's another 10 kilos that you're carrying around. I think it's a bit weird. I have seen one on the road which was the right way up, and I thought, I'd hate to be going through a big storm because everything could get wet.
Everything could get wet. And I can't remember if this one, I did take a photograph of it and I will send it to you. I can't remember if he had a cover over it or not, but all I know is that when I saw it come into to where we were staying, I looked at the rig and thought, oh my goodness, and that boat was huge. It didn't look as big with the caravan behind, but then I saw him out in the road after he unhitched and it just looked enormous and ridiculous. Mm. I don't know why he carried it that way. But he did, nonetheless. So you don't like them? And I think, for the amount of people that use them, they're probably a waste of time, really.
Look, I think, the two guys that I've weighed, or the two couples that I've weighed recently with boats are very keen boaties.
Yep.
And, the first one, as I said, was over on his rear axle and he's getting reweight.
Yep.
He said it was not people to take his boat.
Yep.
So he just needed to work out what else he could get rid of and move.
Yes.
That ended up with him removing drawers from the back of the 70 series to reduce the weight.
Yep.
Because, yeah, drawers are one of those first things that you whack in and then you realise that they've just added a heap of weight in the wrong place. Mm. And, like, he didn't have that much in the back.
No.
And so he didn't really need the drawers and he got rid of a few tools. Mm-hmm. And so he's pretty confident that he'll get down to be compliant on his rear axle with the additional upgrade that he's getting.
Okay.
But for him, the boat was non-negotiable. If it was me, I'd be hiring a boat. That's just me personally.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that said, I get out once a month with my boat if I'm lucky. And I live right next to the water.
Yeah.
So, but that's probably because I'm working. So if I'm travelling, I'd probably go out a bit more often.
Well, you'd like to think so. You'd like to think so. I mean, I brought a heap of fishing gear with me. I haven't went a hook yet. And I've been parked up against a lot of water places. But, it's just, I guess it's what you put down as a priority. I'd rather be looking at the view and doing what we're doing, you know, informing people rather than sitting out there and throwing a line in. That's my thought. Unless, of course, I've got a glass of Jack in my hand.
I always think catching a fish just creates more work.
It does, because then you have to clean them, scale them, and fillet them, and it's so much easier to just walk up to the market and say, give me a kilo of those.
Yeah, especially the prawns.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, mate, is there anything else we need to touch on in relation to towing or not towing, carrying a boat on board on the top?
No, I think just the takeaway from this chat would be that just be really aware of your weights and how much, not only the boat, but the extras are going to weigh and impact on your trip. Yeah.
Okay. Fabulous. So what are we going to play for you? What's your signature sign-off on this segment?
Get ready, 6 months in a leaking boat.
6 months in a leaky boat. Especially...
I don't wish that on anybody.
No. I was going to say, especially if you're carrying it upside down, not sort of the right way, and you've had a week of rain, and you forget to take the bungs out.
Yeah, well, I came into the boat ramp, it was last year, and there's this guy bailing water out of his boat, and he'd lent it to a friend.
Yes.
And the friend decided to, you know, take all the bungs out that he didn't normally do.
Okay.
And put them back in. So, yeah, he backed it in and then realised and filled it up with water before he got out.
The plugs weren't in the bungs.
I'm not sure that the friend will be getting the boat lent.
Definitely wouldn't be borrowing my one, that's for sure. All right, Jeff, well, thank you so much for the chat today. I look forward to chatting with you again next week. You got anything in mind for next week, or are you going to keep all our listeners in suspense?
All right, let's keep them in suspense, eh? We've got to do that every time.
Fabulous idea, mate. All right, well, thanks for your time today, mate, and you take care.
Thanks, Phil. Travel safe and enjoy the road.
Thank you so much. We'll be back with more Roman Oz listeners straight after Split Ends, 6 months in a leaky boat.
Yeah. G'day listeners, my name is Phil C, and if you've just joined the program, this is Roman Oz, and I am in southwest Queensland at the Nindingully Pub with Jamie. How you going, Jamie?
I'm good, mate. Yourself?
Fabulous stuff, my man. I've got to tell you, thanks, first of all, for taking the time to talk with me.
Pleasure.
I know you're busy. I know you got a lot on your plate. We've just arrived, and it's late in the afternoon, and you've said you've got a huge crowd of people coming in, and you're actually... Are you the chef here? Or?
I am a chef, yes.
You're a trained chef?
Yep.
You're a
qualified chef. Yep.
Okay. So... how many sort of people do you get through on an average night? Let's talk about
food. Average night sort of can go from sort of 20 all the way up to about 60, 80, 100 people. You never really pick it here.
Okay, all right. So, and I guess the reason for that is this pub, it's the oldest pub in Queensland,
That's right.
Is that correct?
Continuously licensed, yep. Still in its original position.
Okay, and it came out in
1864,
and it's in its original position?
Original position.
Have you made any changes? Because a lot of it looks pretty original.
Yeah, most of it's original. We got the veranda all redone a couple of years back, because that was starting to get a bit wobbly, I guess. So,
okay.
Everything else is pretty much original, yeah.
Fabulous stuff. Well, I've got to tell you, it looks fantastic. And you got a huge area outside. You got this big outside area, which is great for kids and pet friendly.
Pet friendly, yep, in the beer garden.
Pet friendly in the beer garden. Yeah, no, we can't have them in the restaurant. We can't have them in the pub, but I understand. But pet friendly in the beer garden, that's great, because a lot of the nomads travel with pets now.
They do.
I mean, I got a pet myself, and I'm parked up next to a guy who's got a dog. So you get a lot of nomads traveling with their pets. Now, another thing is, you guys are famous for the road train burger.
Yeah, it's a big road train burger.
Tell us about this road train burger, because I understand, like, there's no one man's been able to eat it by himself,
no,
has
not
it?
Yet, no.
Not yet?
It's 5.5 kilos of burger, so it's a bit of a big-sized burger, yes.
Okay.
We've had it out for probably 10 years now. It's quite popular. Usually 4 to 6 people would eat it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And was that your creation, Jamie?
I created it. The old man came up with the idea.
Okay.
Yeah. Put it together.
The old man came up with the idea. You put it together. 5.5 kilos, and no man has ever been able to eat it single-handed. Have you had a few tries?
We've had plenty of tries, yes.
Plenty of tries.
We had one fellow come close not long ago.
Okay.
And when we first originally bought the burger out, one fellow pretty much ate all of it, bar a bit of bread. It was a bit smaller back then too.
Okay, so you pumped it up a bit.
Yeah.
So what happens if somebody is able to do it? What do they get? Like nobody's been able to do it.
No way. Originally, we had a 5-liter keg for a winner, but I don't think they make those anymore. We just sort of have the burger for free and just do up a little souvenir package if they can get through it. Yeah.
Okay.
We've never had to do that yet.
So. Goodness gracious me. I've heard about this burger. I said to my other half on the way down here, you know what, I might have a crack at this burger. And she said, no, you don't, because if you don't get to eat it all, I'm going to end up paying for it.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
All right. So you got some free camping, which is a great thing. And you also have showers and toilets.
Yes.
And it's all free.
All free. It's a gold coin donation, and that all goes to RFDS, the Flying Doctors.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long have you been running the free camping and with the showers and toilets and everything?
For 20 years at least.
20 years.
Yeah, free camping's always been around. Showers sort of put back in about, say, we've always had at least 2 showers out there 20 years ago. So,
And really just the gold coin donation.
That's it. All for charity.
Come in, buy a beer, and have a crack at this road train burger.
That's it.
If you think you're brave enough. So what else can I ask you? Have you got any other form of accommodation other than the free stuff? Have you got any rooms here?
We've got five rooms at the end of the pub here. That's all the oldest end of the pub as well. So we've got 3 double rooms and a couple rooms that have got single beds in them and stuff like that.
Right.
They're not got en suites, unfortunately.
Yep.
Because they all are, original old rooms.
And you want to keep it original.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. We have got air conditioning in them there.
Well, it gets pretty...
There's a bit of struggle through the summer.
Pretty darn hot. I was going to say that. You're pretty darn hot up here in Western Queensland. So you have put the ACs in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Fabulous. Now, I understand you also give away free beer yesterday.
All tomorrow. Yeah. That's it. Never comes.
Because when I walked in, I was inquiring about the food menu, and old mate at the bar said, we also have free beer tomorrow. And I went, no, you don't mean yesterday? And he went, yeah, you're right, you got me. And I said, well, you're lucky, because I'm not going to be here tomorrow. So free beer yesterday.
came up with that?
That slogan's been around for a very while, eh?
Yeah. Oh, look, it's a funny thing. Now, you're also on the banks of the Moonee River, and apparently your Moonee River's now in flood.
It is, yeah.
So do you get a lot of rain here? How does it work? We're supposed to be in sunny Queensland. Yeah. What's the go, Jamie?
It's usually pretty dry this time of year anyway. It's not usually that much rain around. But, yeah, we've had a bit of a downpour last week, and that's caused a bit of the rise in the river.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fabulous. But you still got, I got to say, you still got a lot of campers out there in your freaking, so they're not deterred.
No, they're hanging out.
They're still pushing through.
It is a nice spot. Just watch the water flow by.
So apart from this fabulous road train burger, 5.5 kilograms, nobody's been able to eat it. It feeds about six. What else can people expect to get on your menu?
We've got plenty of variety of steaks. We've got pork belly. We've got Northern Territory barramundi.
Yes.
We try and get some sort of local seafood in from Sunshine Coast, like prawn, Mullabar prawns and stuff like that.
Yep.
Specials vary from day to day.
Okay. And you're responsible for cooking it all, Jamie. Now, do you have somebody else here with you? Because this is a mighty big kitchen.
Yeah, we've got some chefs on deck.
Okay.
They've just joined the team just very recently, so getting ready for the season.
Okay. So what's the season for you guys? What is
pretty much from Easter till end of October.
And it gets really busy here.
Yeah, just the 4 months, yeah.
And now, apart from that, you've also got some merchandise. If anybody wants to take home a bit of memorabilia from the Nindy Gully pub, what sort of merch have you got out there for them to have a look at or buy?
Plenty of tees, stubby coolers, stickers, caps. Yes. During the wintertime, we've got hoodies in stock, beanies, yeah.
Good stuff. Well, I'm going to have a look at that straight after I grab myself something to eat. And I'm going to get a cold beer. Pity I wasn't here yesterday. That's the thing. And we're going to wrap this up, my friend. Now, Jamie, I've got to play an Aussie song, my friend. Now, what is your favourite Aussie band? Any genre. You're a nice-looking young fella. I can play you a Slim or a Chad Morgan song if you really want, but what's your music taste?
Oh, we'll go with the Angels, mate.
The Angels?
Yeah.
Mate, they're still rocking, you know. They are rocking like you wouldn't believe. Favourite Angels song?
Have I ever seen that face again, I guess?
Am I ever going to see your face?
That's
the one. Am I ever going to see your face again? Well, I think I will, because you know what? You're going to be cooking me that train burger a bit later on, okay?
Good luck with that, mate.
Good on you, my mate. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat. Stick around, listeners. We're going to be back with more Roman Oz straight after Am I Ever Going to See Your Face Again?
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.